Someone wrote a brief history of the church at that time. And I believe it was written some time back, because it only goes to 1964. And I did not have time to finish it up. Seemed like at the time we had homecoming, they wrote four pages, three little pages. But I asked someone up here a while ago whose handwriting this looked like, and they said it looked like this guy named. And I would imagine that would be about right. I wasn't going to read it because it's not a full history, but I thought maybe it would be good to, to read what we got. And there's some interesting things. And if you will allow me to read real quickly. On April 16, 1944, the first recorded service of Bentonville Baptist Church. It was held in the home of Brother Artis Bilbrook. His home was located about a mile behind the church's present location. Surely, led by the Spirit of God, the founding pastor, Ben Tony, and a small group of people organized a church that is still and will always be a lighthouse of God from Bentonville community. Brother Ben Tony was from Lee's Chapel number 2. He lived in the Lee Chapel community. It was Sister Prudence Mitchell Walker, Watkins, and Miss Lily Lee Bilbo named the church after Brother Ben Tony. And I found this very interesting, because usually the church is named after the community. But Bentonville is different than anywhere else you ever go. Because it says here, not only did the church become Bentonville, but also the surrounding community took the name. So the community is actually named after the church. I thought it was pretty interesting. And the church was named not after the French explorer, like most people, when they hear Bentonville. But it's Bentonville, after the founding pastor. Sunday, May 7th, 1944, the first recorded attendance record showed God's early blessing and growth. The church had 50 enrolled and 40 seats present. Brother Charlie Lee and Brother Joe Harris and Brother Robert Long and Brother Jimmy Lee done some of the early preaching at the church. Now on June 19, 1944, was the first offering for the building fund was $32. On July 7, 1944, the church called her first pastor, Brother Arnold Spears. On July 10, 1944, the first two deacons of the church was elected, Brother Rufus Mitchell and Brother Ellen Mitchell. Is that right? From August 20, 1944 to July 5, 1953, we have no written church record. It's believed that the first church was built in 1945. It was located to the west side of the church's present location. Also, pastors during that time were believed to have been Brother Buford Smith and Brother Jack Lee. July 19, 1953, Brother Matt was pastor. The church moved out of the original building into the now existing building around August of 1953. On January 10, 1953, was the first recorded light bill. Y'all ready for this? a whopping $1.50. You know, they were probably, some of them, saying, we need to turn their lights off. Michelle G., wouldn't you like to pay a $1.50 light bill for the church now? On April the 17th, 1955, Brother Rayford Mitchell, Brother Charles Mitchell, and Brother Mac Bond was set aside for deacons. On June the 5th, 1955, Brother Mac Bond and Brother Rayford Mitchell was ordained by the church. On August the 21st, 1955, Brother Elder Madden resigned as pastor. On August 28, 1955, the church called Brother H.K. Stockstill as pastor. And on August 11, 1958, Brother H.K. resigned as pastor. Brother Walter Godshaw was called on September 15, 1958. And on June 19, 1960, Brother Godshaw resigned as pastor. Brother H.K. Stockstill was called back as pastor. And on October 27, 1961, the church ordained Brother Martis Mitchell to minister. Did I say that name right, Marty?
Marty.
Okay. On August the 19th, 1992, Brother H.K. Stockstill resigned. September 23rd, 1962, Brother D.J. Price was called as pastor, and he resigned March 1st, 1964. And that's where the history got up to. So I apologize for not getting the time to finish that up. But I thought that was some interesting information, you know, and I wanted to share it with you. At this time, I would like to ask you to please rise in remembrance of all of our former members and family members that have gone to the church. I'm going to ask the greater questions of people who have heard about
today. Father, things that we've heard about before you, it's the time that you think about the former members of this church board in heaven with you right now. And I would thank you for them. Thank you for their singing, Lord, for going through the hard times, Lord, for going through the good times, Lord. Just thank you for them. It's crazy, Lord, that we have family members that would take a stand. Lord, I just pray that everyone who's in this church today, God, they would look around, Lord, and see these young kids coming up, because if we don't take a stand like they did, Lord, there won't be a church, Lord, in the future, Lord. I just pray you just a blessing for us to come out today and just continue to lead us and guide us. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Happy Bible today. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Y'all, I ain't going to get it in 10 minutes. I'm going to tell y'all that right now. Maybe 15. I appreciate everyone coming today. I was really hoping and praying that Brother Prince would be able to talk today. I told him that, you know, we put a chair up for him. He's a Christian chair. You know, anything. We want him to come. We want him to come. And, but he was not able to. I challenged the church to get folks to come. I told them I'd love to see the church so full that the choir has to stay in the choir loft. Y'all come awful close to that this morning. I appreciate that. Glad y'all are here. But today, I want to bring a message out of Hebrews chapter 12. When found out Brother Prince was not going to be here, there's two places in the scripture that my mind immediately went to. And this is one of them. And the other one was over when Elijah faced down the false prophets on Mount Carmel and rebuilding the altar. So I thought about those two places, but the Lord impressed on my heart to use these texts this morning on this homecoming message. And it's thankful for a godly heritage. Aren't you glad we're not the first one to go down this road?
Amen.
Amen. The Bible tells us that there is nothing new under the sun. Folks, let me tell you, that the same thing that we face today, the one before us, they also face. Now, it may be a little different nuance, or it may be a little different angle, but folks, let me tell you something. I want you to understand something. The devil's not up to no new tricks. The old ones work just as good. Amen. It does the same thing they've always done, all the way back to the garden. Now here in this passage of Scripture, really to understand it, you really need to go back and look at chapter 11. And for time's sake, we're not going to be able to do that today. But in chapter 11 is what most people call or refer to as the Hall of Faith. And it's God telling us that every sin... Adam and Eve, ever since actually righteous Abel, men have been following and walking after God. Amen?
Yes.
Now, in chapter 11, it brings us all the way down to where he says, and there's more besides these. And it's these that I want to talk to us just a little bit today and talk about some things. Now, in verse chapter 12, verse 1, he starts out, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Can I just say something real quick right there before we go on? There was nothing joyous about the cross. The cross was suffering at the highest level. Jesus suffered tremendously that we could be saved. Amen? But he endured the cross. He went through the cross for the joy. What was the joy? Believe it or not, you and I was the joy that Christ was anticipating by going through the cross. He died for us. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Because the next part says, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. One of Ray Lee's favorite verses. And now every time I read it, I think about Ray. Amen. Brother Kelly, would you lead us while we pray?
Thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for the people that have here. Thank you so much for the people that have gone on before us.
ask it in your name of prayer. Amen. I don't want to make you tear up this morning, but when we think about this great cloud of witnesses, I've been privileged enough to have known some of them.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm almost hesitant to mention some of them because I might leave some of them out, but there's a few that I want to mention. I guess maybe not the absolute top of the list, but right there at it. Was Aunt Cruz. I'm going to tell you something about that woman. She sat right over here, I believe, somewhere right here. And if we got without a piano player, she would get up and dutifully come over here and play the piano for us. I did not know at the time, but for the rest of that week, her hand would be so sore from arthritis, I had no idea. When I found out about it, I said, Aunt Prue, you don't have to do that. She said, no, I know it. But you know something else that impressed me about Aunt Prue? She evidently knew the scripture. As her eyesight failed, I would tell the text, and I would watch her and catch a glimpse of her mouthing the words to the text. That's a blessing to me. Granny Lee. And I tell you what, I don't believe that she's ever heard me preach. But she's a very important part of this church. Every week I'd go over to her house on Tuesday night and I'd watch Wheel of Fortune with her. Amen. Kelly, she thought I was the best Wheel of Fortune fella they were. She said several times, I ought to go play that game. I ought to go get on that TV show. But I'm going to tell y'all a secret. I guess them puzzles for her, but they'd only be two or three letters missing, you know, anybody. Angela Lee. He's a dear friend of mine. He, for some reason, whenever I started coming here and preach, he befriended me, and he thought a lot of me, and I thought a lot of him. And I'm sure there's many, many others that I could mention. I do want to mention one that, Miss Gagneau, you can't miss her, leave her out. But I'm going to tell you about one that I never met. And that was Mac Bond. Oh yeah, we don't want to leave out Ned Bond. If they were the two opposite folks, you'd ever want to be. I love Brother Ned. Amen. He'd give you the shirt off his back if he thought you needed it. And he might be complaining the whole time, but he'd give it to you. Let me tell you something about Mike Bond. Never met him. But he had a testimony. He's part of that great cloud of witnesses. If you went, this has been told to him, if you went to him and you had some kind of gossip or you had some kind of stuff you wanted to tell on somebody, Mac Bond said, okay, let's go. Where are we going, Brother Mac? We're going to go talk to him. We're going to get to the bottom of it. That's what I heard about. There's very few people that you hear somebody talk about that they don't say, you know, he was a good man, but. And then they have something, you know. The only thing I ever heard about Mac Bond in the day that he didn't like to do yard work after he got home from the day of work. Amen. That's the worst thing somebody got to say about me. I don't remember. All of these folks remind me, in order to remind you, and if I forgot somebody, it was a slip of the mind and not the heart. Because you yourself have a whole list of folks that you could put in that list.
Amen.
And in this passage, it reminds us, it says this, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about, that means surrounded by. I grew up knowing about church. And I didn't grow up in church. That's just a fact. That's not nobody's fault. That's just a fact. Bendel's got a good godly heritage that stretches back across the decades. And we ought to be thankful for it. But that great cloud of witness that surrounds us, that reminds us of what it means to be Christian. I'm thankful that in my life that I've had the opportunity to observe some great men and women that I believe love the Lord and gave me a good witness to follow. But this is what the Bible says that we should do with this witness, or because of this witness, in order to cause us to do something. Folks, listen to me very carefully. If all you can do is remember how good it used to be, and you forget how great we have it going forward, you're missing something. The past should never be forgotten. Amen? Ain't a lot of good stuff back there. God saving souls now.
Amen.
In the present. So let's look at a couple of things that I got out of this, and hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. Wherefore, seeing we are accomplished, let me start over. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight. What is that talking about? What does that mean to you? What does that mean to me? Now, Paul, he used, I know a lot of us like sports, and we follow sports teams, and it's important to us. And apparently Paul was a sports fan himself, because he used several illustrations concerning sports, and this is one of them. And the idea was to do with a racer, someone that run a foot race, and he would lay aside every weight. They would, get comfortable for the race. They would take away things that would hinder. That's all I'm thinking of, by the way. This is not necessarily talking about sin. Amen. For a long time, whenever I read it, and let me tell you, if you got something in your life, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, as far as sin goes, you need to get that taken care of. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the weight. The weight is dealing with the things that hold you back. That's what it's about. The things that become an obstacle in your life and my life to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look, I want you to understand this. There's things in your life that really don't seem like it's that big of a deal to me. Amen. Don't let that hurt your feelings, because there's things going on in my life that probably you couldn't care less about. That probably didn't sound very nice, but it's probably true. Yeah, it's not as important. That's what I mean. It's not that big of a deal. You might not understand why I struggle with some of the things I struggle with, and I don't understand. That's okay. Let me tell you something. The devil knows what your biggest hindrance is, and he'll use it against you like a club to beat you down every chance he gets.
Amen.
Let us, Paul, here, and a couple, and I'm real big into this. I really believe that we as Christians, we are saved by the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing added to it, nothing taken away. The only way you're going to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ.
Right.
Period.
Yep.
With a big exclamation point by it. That's it. But I believe in our walk.
Amen.
Sometimes we have to make decisions and do things on our own. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying, we got this great cloud of witness. We got some good example to pattern ourselves after. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's what the Bible says, that God puts those types of people in our lives. And he spends the entire chapter 11 telling us about different ones that are heroes of the faith. And then at the end of chapter 11, he kind of leaves us with, and there's more than that. And then in chapter 12, he says, seeing therefore we're surrounded or encompassed about with so great a cloud of witness that has been there, done that, shown us the way, then we need to lay aside the things that hinder us from serving God. And I don't know how many people we have here this morning, but as many people as here this morning, that's how many different weights and different things, different places, different people have different needs, different troubles, different trials, different, what works for me may not be what you need. What you need may not be what someone else needs. But let me tell you something. We, as persons, your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is personal. No one can make that decision for you. You got to make that decision to accept it. Once you make that decision, then you decide to follow it. And the first thing you do is start laying aside weights, things that hinder you. I don't know what it is in your life. I know in my life some of the things that hinder me. And I'll let you know a little secret. Some of them I may not know you, but they're still there. So he says, lay aside every weight. And notice, I'm real big into paying attention to what the Word of God says, because it's these little things that makes the difference. Do you know something about the Word of God? It doesn't matter if you agree with me or not, or with the Word of God or not. The Word of God is true.
Amen.
And it means what it says. I've had a dear person in my life, when we talk about something, they would say, well, that's what I believe. Well, it's totally opposite from what the Word of God said. So what do you got to do? You got to go by the Word of God. Oh, yeah, I said, all I can say is, look very carefully at what else this says. Lay aside every weight. And then it said, and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, trip us up. Now, look at what it's saying. It's saying the sin, singular. Have you ever noticed that before? The sin. The one thing that, the one sin that trips up more Christians than anything else. The sin that so easily besets. You ever seen that before? You noticed that? You probably have. You probably, what's the one thing that has tripped God's people up since the start? It's amazing to me, and I shared this with our church before, with our church several times. It's amazing to me, especially right now at this time of year, when you're reading about the Easter account or the resurrection account, and how many times the apostles were tripped up because of unbelief. That's it. Over and over again, you see the apostles. They love the Lord. I don't think anybody can deny that. They trusted the Lord, but sometimes that unbelief would creep in, and it would hinder them. It wouldn't stop them, right here said, seeing and the sin which doeth so easily beset us. You know, I've shared this over and over again. I keep saying in my life, my problem with unbelief is not believing that God can do it. I know He can. I know the same God that saved me is the same one that led Israel out of Egypt and led them across the Red Sea on dry ground. I heard someone foolishly say one time, and on TV, but it said that the miracle of the Red Sea crossing was not that God, the part of the Red Sea, but that He, but because where they were, according to this, it said the Red Sea was only 18 inches deep. And so the miracle was that God drowned a whole army of Egyptians in 18 inches of water. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had an entire army after me, ready to bring me back to either Egypt or to kill me, they might catch me, but it's going to be out there in 18 inches of water, not on dry ground, waiting for them to catch up with me, because I'm going to be waiting out there in the middle of that stuff.
Amen.
The Red Sea boat was insurmountable to Israel. It was impossible for them to escape that way. The biggest problem Israel had, in my opinion, crossing the Red Sea, was all the dust they kept kicking up. Because they crossed over on dry ground. According to the scripture. I don't have a problem believing that. I don't have a problem believing that God created the earth in six literal 24-hour days. I don't have a problem believing none of the miracles that Jesus done in the New Testament. Making the blind see, the deaf to hear, the lame, the walk, the withered, the halt, the being able to use their hands again. I don't even have a problem believing that God told, I believe it was Peter, to go down there and throw his hook in the water, catch a fish, and when he opened his mouth, they had money in the fish's mouth to pay their tax. Now, my problem with unbelief is not if God can, but if you will, for me. You see the difference? That's where I'm at. Or that's where I've been. Amen. But over and over again, God has proved to me over and over again that He will, not only can He, but He will, I still struggle with it. That's why. I don't know where you might be been in the same thing. But anyway, that is the sin which do so easily trip us up or beset us. Point number three to this. Lay aside every weight and sin, the sin, and then it says, let's get in there and run the river. How many times have I been asked to run the race, and because I just sit on the sideline, it doesn't get run? Amen. That's where I'm at. What about you? Here's the thing. God asked us to trust Him for eternal life. To be effective with that life He gives us, He asked us to run the race. To get in there and do it. Amen. To get in there and participate. Let us lay aside every weight. That's good. Check. Let us lay aside the sin that so easily besets us. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to do what God says. I'm going to just believe God. Amen. Check. And they were sitting on the couch watching the three students. God has called us into this room. He has given us people, for example, over and over again that have run the race, that have done their part. And that's our name. Let us run the race with patience. Let us run the race with patience that God has for us. Brother Paul Lee, you've got a favorite saying, and I'm sure it's not unique with him or original with him, but he likes to say, you're to hoe your own rope. God has fitly joined our church together, putting together different ones and different talents and different things, and he meshes them together until we become one. But if you got some that's not part of the doing their part. All right. But here's the only way that we can lay aside everything. This is the only way that we can lay aside the sin so easily. This is the only way that we would be able to run that race with patience. Because while we're the one that has to put the effort in there, we're not the one that supplies the power. Because in verse 2, it says, because we're looking unto Jesus, the author, the one that wrote it out, the architect, the one that designed us, the one that built us, the one that put it together. That's what that original word has to entail. Looking unto Jesus, the author. And how about this? I'll finish. He went the whole way.
Why you writing in the Bible?
I get aggravated and not quick. Aren't you glad that Christ said to because we're fixing to celebrate a time of what we call the resurrection. Or, well, what the world looks at is Easter and right before the resurrection, 3 days before, on Friday, Jesus hung on that cross. And he said something on that cross. He is the author, the creator, the writer, the architect of our faith. But he also is one of the finished. It's all about him. If you or if I ever leave Jesus out and we get our eyes off of Jesus, we will find ourselves like Peter when he walked on the water. And the Bible says when he took his eyes off of the Lord and got his eyes on something else, he was looking at the waves, he was looking at the wind, he was looking at the situation, he immediately began to sink. You want to find yourself in trouble in the water? It's good to have that cloud of witness. But Bobby, let's have a song. It's good to have those role models. It's good to lay aside the things that get in the way. It's good to put our hope and trust and faith in the Lord Jesus. And let's tell you, we're going to get our eyes off of you. And on the other side, we'll start to see quickly. But you know what? No matter what kind of trouble we get into, no matter what kind of trouble that I get into, Peter found himself in, and he immediately, he hollered out, Jesus, save me. And the Bible says, not after a long debate on God's part, not after, well, you know, you really should. Can you imagine every time If we go to God, we get scolded, you know? That's not what happened, is it? But the Bible says immediately, Jesus reached out his hand, and he picked Peter back up and set him back up on top of the moon. And those two walked arm in arm back to the moon. I'm back in the place. Let me tell you, you might be here today, and you might be out there amongst the waves. You might have gotten your eyes off the Lord. Can I tell you, all you got to do is look back to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Brother, what's your number?
104. 104. What's your number? I'm looking.